stand, if you will. 205. Those of you who can stand.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and beauty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to His loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
That's good singing. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who has a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Okay, Jesse.
David Seals, the young man that was here this morning with his wife Jennifer, he needs our prayers. He's going through a terrible time right now.
Okay, Pam. All right. Okay, we'll do that, Brenda. And Shirley. Yeah. Still trying to get Miss Shirley back. Who else tonight? Anybody else? Okay, Helen. All right. Henry, can you take up our offering tonight? Thank you. Bless our offering, brother. We're going to sing one more, then Pam's going to come share that song. You can remain seated on this one. 340, page 340 in your book.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known. Know why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is unto him against that day.
Let's sing it. Come on up, Miss Pam.
Be able to hear this music through here? Amy's not here. All right, Jesse. Am I going to be able to hear this under here?
I don't know.
Is it on? It is on. Okay, first of all, I want to apologize in case if someone else has sung this song. I don't remember it, but I have it. So if you have sung this before, I hope I don't mess it up. So I was thinking maybe Tom sang it, but I'm not telling you. You just have to guess. I know it doesn't matter. Okay, but like I said, Lorelai's not here to sing with me. She said yesterday, on the way home, she said, I really like that little light one. And I said, well, we'll work on that so the next time you're there, we can sing that. She said, okay, Grammy. She's the one that acts like she's 14 instead of 4. Yes, okay, all right. If it comes out with a bad note, just ignore it. Because my throat's still yucky. And, of course, it's going to do it. I always get nervous, so it does it anyway. So, but I'm going to sing this for the Lord. If y'all would like to join in, feel free to do it. I had to 200. It's still not big enough. Who does this? You know, and I've got bifocals. So I'm going to do my very best, and I'm just going to sing it for the Lord because I'm going home with Jesus. Okay? Twinkling of an eye. You may. Thank you. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most any time, and a crown of life that's waiting, thank God, will soon be mine. I got my reservation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, this trip's been paid for me. I'm going home to Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. The captain of the vessel is calling, get on board, and the destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore, and there we'll meet our Savior. Sorry, I missed it. That, and my loved ones and all them people. Thank God I'm going home. Whoa! Oh, in going home to Jesus in the twinkling of I've made my reservations for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. I may not know the moment or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away.
Play that again. We want to hear that again.
No.
They were just getting into it,
oh,
Pam.
No,
here we
no,
go.
No.
Come on now. Let's go. Play it, Scott.
Honey.
Yeah, hit it.
Now I won't have any voice. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most any time, and a crown of life that's waiting, thank God, will soon be mine. I got my reservation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, this trip's been paid for me. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. The captain of the vessel is calling, get on board, and the destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore, where we will meet our Savior and our loved ones that's gone before. Thank God I'm going home. I'm going home to Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. I may not know the moment and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away.
That was good, Pam. Good. Yeah. We all liked it, didn't we? Yeah. You, hey, you hang on to that one. I don't care who sung it. I don't even know. I don't know. Yeah. Y'all never sang that, did you? Oh, it's back then. That was about 20 years ago. 30 years ago. More than that. Well, it doesn't make any difference. That's a good song for you. It takes a person with a lot of personality and energy and all that stuff you don't have. Well, it's good to be back here in the house of the Lord tonight. I wasn't sure anybody'd come back tonight after this morning. Of course, I had enough notes for an hour and a half to preach, but I didn't do that, and I thought, well, maybe I was trying to cram too much into that length of time, but it's okay. We're back tonight, aren't we? And it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to see Mabel and Susie again. Make yourself at home. Who else is, well, that's it. That's it. Thank you, Linda. Linda says, we're here. Yes, you are, Linda. And Mel knows it very well. Yeah. If you will, turn to John chapter 2. We'll read a little bit, okay? I'm going to get down to verse 5 eventually, but I'm going to read right on through it, and then I'll go back to verse 5 because verse 5 is the key verse for the message tonight. And he says in the very first word of chapter 2, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." When I read, I wonder, you know, exactly what's going on when that happened. Why did they call them there? Who summoned them to the marriage? But see, he was going around all the time mingling with the people. That's what he did. And he didn't just mingle with the good boys and girls. No, he mingled with the bad boys and girls too. He mingled with everybody. He mingled with the ones that we would probably say, I can't hang around them. He did. He even went in and ate supper with them. The ones we would probably have a problem with. But he was there. They'd called him and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." Not good, is it? That was their way. They served wine at the marriage. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman," as his mama, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." So she might have had something to do with getting him there and knowing that there was no wine and there was a problem they couldn't solve. He was a problem solver, so why not have Jesus at the wedding, right? And get him a little help, get his disciples there too. We're going to get this thing done. His mother saith unto the servants. Now here's the key to the message, okay? His mother saith unto the servants. She must have known he was going to say something. She knew him well. She brought him into the world. She brought him up to this point. By the way, this was his first miracle. If you ever wondered what the first miracle of Jesus was. And his mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." That's coming from a mama and a woman who knew how to say what she wanted to say. So she was saying to the servants, "Now whatever he wants, you do it." "And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water." He wanted everybody to make sure that they knew that that was water in the water pots. You believe that? You see, because he's not just supplying wine for the wedding here. He never did something to please the people, you know, to get what they want done. He always had something bigger and better to show the people. So when he said, fill the water pots with water, he wanted to make sure they knew it was water. And they filled them to the brim. They've already started obeying him. Did you notice? She said, you do whatever he says. He said, do this. They did it. They're not only obeying him, they're obeying mama. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they did. They bear it. Now that's quick. You don't make wine that fast. Right? I mean, there's a process. I guarantee there is. I don't make it, but I know there's a process. I've known people who did. My father-in-law did in the basement. Got to make it in the basement. if you're going to make it, you know. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, watch this, this is good. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, didn't know where it came from. It wasn't water anymore, I can tell you that. But the servants which drew the water knew. You know, it's amazing that when you obey the Lord, you know what's happening. People around you may wonder what's happening, but you know what's happening. Now, is that not a blessing that you know? If he's done something wonderful for you and you've been blessed by it and you know, you're double blessed. But he says, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. The governor wants to know what in the world's going on here because this must have been some pretty good stuff. Well, I think he said so. He said, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. At the beginning of the wedding, they put the good stuff out there. And when the men have well drunk, now that don't mean they're drunk, that means they drank all the wine. It's whatever it was. Then that which is worse, they brought out the bad stuff later. Because then he said, nobody probably care. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. What's going on at this wedding? This is a different wedding. And by the way, throw aside all your beliefs about wine right now because it doesn't matter. The wine is not the issue here at all. What you believe about wine is not the issue. If you're a drunk, you're a drunk. Are you with me? If you want a drink to get drunk, you're a drunk. And ain't nothing else to say about it. I'm not going to tell you this was 10% or 25% or 40% or 50%. It doesn't matter. I know people say, well, it's only 25%, but they drank three cases. So it's what you want to do with what you're doing. It's your motive for what you're doing. So put that aside because if you don't, you'll miss the point here. The point is really good, and it's for us today. It is. So I'm going to stop right there at the end of verse 10, and we're going to hush there, and then we're going to get into the message. Lord, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the night here to be together, to get into your word and to fellowship with you in the word, because your word is so good. It is so warm and so inviting and so blessing to all of us tonight. So we just thank you for it all. Now, Lord, for each one who's here, I pray that we all take something back home with us that'll make us a better Christian tomorrow. And we're going to praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, verse 5, go back to it because that's where we're going to be, remembering the story, okay? His mother saith unto the servants, because he had just said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And she said to the servants, whatsoever, this is the phrase right here, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So what we do is we start with whatsoever, don't we? Why not? It's the first word of the phrase that I told you was the whole message. So we'll start with that. But first of all, I want to get one word, kind of out of the way and still insert it into the message at the same time because it's important that we know this. When she said in verse 5, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it, what she's saying is the same thing your mama and your daddy would have said to you, you better obey. Now, I was trying to get that word out of you. You better obey me or else you're in trouble, right? Obedience is the word. Obedience is from Genesis to Revelation. It's a wonderful word, but if you don't want to obey, it's not a wonderful word to you, right? It becomes a stress. It becomes a heavy burden if you don't want to obey. But he's saying you need to be obedient. Now, if you know, and I know you know your own person about obedience, how you feel about obedience, but if you know the meaning of obedience, it maybe takes it a little further. So let's look at the meaning of obedience. It means submissive to the restraint or command of authority. That's why some in marriages, some women have a problem with the fact that they're to obey their husband. It's okay for women to smile at this point. Because the very next thing he says to the man is, and you're to love her as Christ loved the church. Now you tell me, what woman does not want to submit to the leading of her husband if she understands that he loves her as Christ loved the church? Won't have a problem with it at all. But if you get some old brute come in and saying, you're going to obey me, woman, he'll be looking for another one pretty soon. Right? Because there's not many going to put up with that. If they do, they'll end up in counseling somewhere. But it goes on to say that not only is it being submissive to the restraints or commands of authority, but it's submissive to the control of another. That's why it comes into play there. That you're in to be submissive to the control of another. None of us like to think like that, right? But this is one case where we don't have the choice of submitting to it or not. If you're going to obey it, that's exactly what you're doing. And I don't have a problem submitting myself to the control of my Lord. I don't. Why? Because I know He loves me. Go back to the marriage. He loves me. He loves me supremely. He loved me enough to let His Son come and die for me. How good is that? So would I have a problem with submitting? I don't think so. I know so. You see, only is a key word in this. And I'm not bashing, anytime I ever mention another religion, I'm not bashing another religion. I just mention religions because of their beliefs. But the Catholic religion is one that we will mention sometimes because of their beliefs about Mary. And we know that they have put Mary, the mother of Jesus, into a very authoritative position in the church. We know that. And we mention that because nobody else does. There is no one else. So in this scripture, she directs them to Jesus only. She didn't bring anybody else into this picture because He is the one. And He'll always be the one. Amen? The word only is a problem for Catholicism, though. The word only, because let me give you a few examples here. They agree that the Lord Jesus is a priest, but not the only. They agree that salvation is by faith, but not faith only. This is good stuff. They agree that Jesus is our mediator, but not our only. They agree we must confess our sins to God, but not to God only. You see, so therefore, there's a problem there. It's a problem for us because we believe the Bible. Our obedience as a Christian is to God only. You don't obey the pastor. Amen? Y'all ought to be stronger than that. Amen. You don't obey the pastor. You don't obey your Sunday school teacher. Say amen real loud.
Amen.
Yeah. You don't obey the music director. You don't obey, I mean, he may say turn to page 248, but if you don't want to turn to page 248, you don't have to. If you don't want to sing, don't turn, right? But if you love singing the song, listen to your music director and turn to 248 and sing it. I don't even know what it is, but turn to it anyway. So we have a criteria here for obedience, and that is to Jesus only. That's who we believe. So let's take a look at what his mom said here, and we're going to take it one word at a time. Well, the first word anyway. Whatsoever. This is whatsoever is obedience without reservations. I don't hold anything back. When I'm going to obey the Lord, I'm going to listen to everything He says, and I'm going to obey what He says. I'm not going to add to it or take away from it. I'm going to obey what He says. That's whatsoever. And that's what she meant for that to happen. In the Old Testament, two ladies, Rachel and Leah, y'all know those, they said to Jacob, said this, "Whatsoever God hath said to thee, do it." Now that word never goes away. If it's in the Old Testament or New Testament, if it says do it, it means do it. It means to obey by doing that. The Lord was talking to the people of Israel about having joy in the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, and He told them, here's what He told them. He said, "What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add there unto it, or nor diminish from it." Don't add anything, take anything away. Whatever I ask you to do, do it. Do it the way I say do it, He was saying in our own simple language. If I tell you to do it this way, do it this way. I don't mind working for a person who knows what they're doing, who tells me do it this way, because I know I'm being told the right way to do it. But if somebody that wants to be a brain surgeon tells me how to do it and they're a carpenter, I'm not going to listen to them. Are you? But in this case, the Lord tells me, I'm the Lord, I'm the one you're listening to, and when I say something, you do it. Obedience without reservations. Don't add anything or take anything away from what He says. Now, obedience to one of authority or control. That's what we said the definition of it was, and that's where we're going, because it says that's who He is. He is the one in control. We say that all the time, but I wonder if we really believe that, or is that just a phrase we use to sound like a better Christian? You know, we are capable of doing those kinds of things. We're capable of saying things that will make us sound better. Amen? We do. So, whatsoever, what's the next word? Just the next word. He. Whatsoever He. Now, I don't know about you, but I love that song that Amy and Pam and Tom sings, I Call Him Lord. Oh, mercy. Every time they sing that, I go into another high. They need to do it pretty soon, right? Say amen real loud. Amen. We've got to get, I love that song because I call Him Lord. Don't you? I call Him Lord. And if you call Him Lord, let me give you the definition of Lord. It'll help you. One having power and authority over others. So that takes us right back to obedient. Right? Because that's what the Lord is. He is one having power and authority over others. He's a ruler. He's a ruler over you. He's a ruler over everybody. A ruler by hereditary right to whom service and obedience are due. Now, how do we feel about being obedient to the Lord? And Him
only.
Yes, Him only. No, not another. I'll give you a reason why that's important here in a second. If He's your Lord and Savior, then do what's due Him. Whatever He said for you to do, and He's not going to tell every one of us individually to all do the same things, except what's in the Word of God. He may lead you to do a different ministry. He may lead you to someone that He's not leading someone else to, because He knows you and He knows how you might be the one to reach that person. So whatever He says to do, whoever He sends you to, whatever He wishes of you, do it. Just do it. And there's a reason for that. You say, yeah, because He said so. That's not the only reason. You see, who the Lord has in mind when he gives you something to do, he doesn't even have himself in mind. He has you in mind. He knows what is best for you. He knows what's going to bless your life. He knows what's going to make you wake up in the morning happy that you're alive and that you've got somebody out there who's waiting for you to come and give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe to be saved, maybe to be, renew their life, whatever it is. But he knows what you need. He knows what you want for the rest of your life, and more than we do. Somebody would say to my grandson that's in college, what do you want to do? He said, I don't know. He didn't know. And you know, if we're honest, we really don't know a whole lot about what we want in life either. It might be good for us to take an inventory of what we have done and what we are doing and what we could like to get done before we exit and see if we can't get some good stuff done. Yeah, there's things. I had a bucket list. Y'all know about bucket lists. I had a bucket list, and one of my bucket lists was to go, I always say throw my leg over that motorcycle and take off down the road. But I always wanted to go more than that. I wanted to go out west on that thing. And one day I got the opportunity, a preacher friend of mine called me from Nashville and said, we're going to take a trip to Yellowstone. Would you like to go? And at first I'm saying, whoa, that's not to Jonesboro. And so I said, yeah, because you know how I am. Oh, yeah, I want to go, whether I could do it or not, you know. Yeah, I want to go. So I have to back it up. So I threw that leg across that motorcycle and took off down the road. I went with my buddy Jim. I'll never forget Jim, Helen's husband, one of my best friends. He was. We had some of the same. He loved the Vols. We both ushered football down there for a time. And he loved riding, and I loved riding. And I'll tell you this little story. I think I might have told it once before, but I always like to tell it because I wanted you to see Jim for what he was. Jim was a gritty guy. He was a jarhead too. Yeah, you know how those jarheads are. Y'all know what a jarhead is? Okay, just thought I'd tell you. Well, we took off one cool morning going toward Nashville to meet all those other preachers down there, and we were riding down the road, and he always wanted me to lead, and so I got into Knoxville, and it was cool when we left, but when we got into Knoxville, the sun had come up, and it was getting warm. Well, Jim had just taken a bunch of meds before he left his house, and he had a bunch of clothes on because we didn't want to be cold going down the road, you know. So he had a bunch of clothes on, and the sun coming back in him, he got hot. And I looked in my mirror, and I saw him pull over to the side of the road, and I said, oh, okay. And I pulled over also. And he hung on to that bike long enough to get closer up to me. And when he got up there, he threw that kickstand down, and he lost everything he'd eaten for 3 days. And I said, Jim, and he always held this against me. He did. I said, Jim, now you don't have to go, son. You're not bound to go. If you want to, I'll call Les, and Les will come down here and get you, and you can go back. He said, I'm not going back. I'm going with you. So let's go. That's what Jim said. We got back on those things after we cleaned up a little mess and took a little water. You know, we had a little water with us and took a drink of water. But we made it up another few miles to a service station at one of those exits up there. And we pulled off and got everything in good shape. And he drank him some Coke. You know, Coke's a good stomach settler. Or was it Sprite? Not sure which one it was. But anyway, he drank him some, and we we took off, and not another problem the whole time. That was just that one issue. And I was about, and he'd say, "You wanted to send me back." I said, "No, Jim, I didn't want to send you back. I didn't want you to go if you weren't able to go." And he said, "Yeah, you wanted to send me back." I said, "Let's go, boy." So we got on those bikes and rode over 5,000 miles after that and had the time of our life. In fact, I think I showed that video here at the church, didn't I? Not of him riding himself. I'm talking about the video of us going out west. Did I show that here? Okay. The first song was what?
Take me home.
No. No, Pam. The first song was "Going Nowhere Fast." That's what we were doing. We were going nowhere fast, but really we were going somewhere. And then we got out there, and Lord blessed us. And I come back after sitting there and watching Old Faithful with Jim come up at its due time, you know, and shoot sky high. I come back and did a message here at the church about being faithful. Because I watched those preachers sit around that bench and wait for Old Faithful. And the key to that message was, I'll get back to mine, don't worry. The key to that message was if you know something's going to happen, you can wait on it. Wow. Did you say wow? If you know something's going to happen, you can wait on it. And we did. We sat there and waited, and after a while, it went pew, just up about that high. Then it went pew, went up that high. Then it went pew, then it went right on up to the sky. Old Faithful had a wonderful time. But in this message, we're talking about obedience. Whatsoever he saith to you, what do you do? What he said. Now, that's personal. You agree? Well, let's make it personal. Here's what he said. Whatsoever he saith unto who? Who's a you in here? Everybody's a you. If I say you, 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 and you, and you, and you, you're all yous. Now, if you point at me and say, "You're you," I'm you. We're all you. That makes us personal, every one of us. So she says, whatsoever he saith to you. I like it being personal. I don't know about you. That would be all of you. But I like it personal. And she made it personal when she said, whatsoever he saith unto you, you do it. We want it to be personal when it's what God is to us. You know, let me make this plain because this is good. If he's my Savior, I want you to know he's my Savior. Now, you might say the same thing, but it makes me feel good to know that he's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Master. He's my wonderful one. He's my blessing. He's everything to me. Now, you can claim him for yourself now that I've done it, but I'm not going to claim him for you. I'm going to claim him for me because I want it to be personal. And what I'm saying to you is, if we want it to be personal and things he is to us, and we do, then listen to this, because there's a number of scriptures that says how he is to us. In Genesis 48:21, it says, God will be with who? You. You can say you whenever you think it's the right time to say it. Okay? You with me now? Okay, let's get it. God will be with
me.
You've always got one. And he's sitting up here on the front row. He said me. God will be with
you.
The Lord will be with
you.
Say you.
Me.
Christmas is coming. And do you all know who's in Christmas that nobody likes? Thank you. The Lord is with
you
while you be with him. I'm giving you different ones. If you want to know where the scriptures are, I'll give them to you later. I am with you always. You hath he quickened, made alive. You like the fact that he's made you alive? I do. He quickened me and he's quickened you. So it's important that when he's doing something for us, we want to make sure that everybody knows it's about me. He loved me. When that little youngin stood up here this morning, out sang Pam 2-1, and she sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And she just had that little swagger about her. I loved that little swagger. And I saw you all too. You were loving it too. It was absolutely wonderful. And I want that youngin back. In fact, I think Pam ought to take her into the house and keep her for the rest of her life. Okay, this is the same you. This is not a different you. It's just a different look at what he wants us to do. This is the same you when it comes to obedience. When he says, you obey, is that the same thing as he's my Lord, he's my master, he belongs to me? It's the same you. So it shouldn't be any different when we come to obey him. Listen and don't muddy the water. If he tells us to do something, don't muddy it by making it something else that's easier for you to do. Because he says, don't add to it, don't take away from it, just do it. That's all he wants us to do. So let's not muddy the thing up, okay, by what I want or what you want, because it's not important. This is a call for us to personally obey him in whatever he asks us to do. Now, you say, well, that's all of it, isn't it? No. No, there's two more words. What is it? Do it. Do it. Just do it. That's a phrase by somebody. Who is it? I'm not wearing any Nike shoes. Pam says worst people in the world. And she's an authoritative person on that. But Nike's always had that phrase, just do it. Now, the reason they put that out there is they're not commanding you to do anything. They want you to know it's an action word. You get out there and get busy and be active in the world and wear our shoes. That's what you do. Well, you don't have to wear Nike shoes. But, buddy, when it comes into what I'm talking about here tonight, we don't have a choice. We do it. That's called obedience. He is our authority. He's our Lord. He's our master. He's everything to us. He's the one we recognize only, right? He's the only one. So there's not another. What must I do to be saved? Somebody asked that question, didn't they? Absolutely. What must I do to be saved? We obey what he says to do. What must I do? Obey me. Well, in Jeremiah 11:4, he says, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your Lord. Now that sounds like a stipulation to me. That sounds like something is, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. You see, the Lord's not just out there to be everything that everybody wants. He's out there to be to those people who obey him to do what he asks us to do. He's not trying to please everybody. This liberal thinking world out here wants to make him the God that loves all the world and everybody does no wrong, and he's going to love everybody and take everybody to heaven. That's not going to happen. If we don't listen to him and obey his voice, he's not going to be what he's supposed to be to us. He's not. He's not going to be your Savior if you don't obey him. That's good stuff. Whatever God asks you to do, whatever it is, he'll at the same time give you the power to do it. He will. Always has, and he always will. I wish Chris was here. He'd have finished that for me. Every time I say always has, Chris says always will. Love that guy. James chapter 4 and verse 17. You see, the thing about it is, what he asks us to do is all going to be good. He's not going to ask us to do anything that will hurt us. So if it's going to be good to us, we would probably say it's been a blessing. Wouldn't we? We would. All those things that you say, that was a blessing to me, that's because he is in it. Folks, he has to be our guide, our daily guide. He has to be our authority. He has to be the one in control of our lives. And when he says to us to do something, we've got to do it so that we'll be blessed. He wants it for us because it's a good thing to do. It'll be good. So why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we do something that's good for us? Free of charge, too. Wasn't free for him. He paid the ultimate price, but it's good for us. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So is he telling us, hey, I'm going to keep you away from the sin part. If you'll do whatsoever I say, we'll do that. Do we agree? You don't have to agree, but you do if you want to be blessed. If you don't agree that you need to obey him, you're probably not going to. And you're going to miss out on a lot of good blessings. A whole lot. Let's thank the Lord for this scripture tonight and this wonderfully short message that you can take with you, take it out tomorrow, make it live for you. Obey him. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the privilege of prayer. We want to thank you for the power of prayer. We want to thank you, Lord, that you gave us the right to come boldly to you with this wonderful thing called prayer. And you ask us to pray without ceasing. And God, we want to do that. We want to obey you. And in an attitude of prayer, we'll find life so much better, so many more blessings in our life. And we praise you for what you've done here tonight. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, your precious Son and our wonderful Savior. We pray. Amen.